So my first sentence for you today is this: I was born in chaos. My grandmother always reminded me that the day I was born, they were conducting a nuclear test in Nevada. More than 600 civil defense observers and representatives of the information media, that's what it was called back then, witnessed an atomic explosion at the Atomic Energy Commission's Nevada Proving Ground. Somehow my grandmother had a nuclear explosion and my birth tied together. I don't quite get that. But some news and radio people called this event Operation Doorstep. And the name was appropriate since the purpose of that program was to show the people of America what might be expected if an atomic burst took place over the doorsteps of many major cities. Operation Doorstep marked the first time that civil defense observers were allowed to come and witness a technical test program. And the arrangement was made with the knowledge that it involved a certain amount of risk. Would you like to hear what the certain amount of risk was? That some observers might jump to conclusions and that their conclusions might be wrong. Now, I think the risk might have been a little higher than that, but that's what they said. But the value to the nation in demonstrating what could happen in a nuclear explosion far outweighed that great risk of being wrong in your conclusions. It was advised at the time that all people should have home shelters so that they could minimize the damage to their families in the event of such an occurrence. If a nuclear bomb were to be dropped, people were supposed to run and hide in their shelters until the danger was past. This is what the tests concluded. It was a very controlled test. They used a very small bomb and they had a very controlled ground zero. And at the time, there were only two other countries besides the United States, the Soviet Union and the United Kingdom, who possessed nuclear capabilities. Well, things aren't a whole lot different today, because the fact is, chaos is still very present in the world. There is no way we can escape the chaos of the world. Now, today's passage from Acts describes a rather chaotic event in the life of the church. In fact, it shows us that the church itself was born in chaos. We heard those first few verses about how a great wind came and a great roar came and little tongues of fire rested on the heads of the believers. That sounds pretty chaotic to me. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, people from other nations and regions heard that noise and they began to hear those words that the disciples and apostles were speaking, but they heard it in their own language. And so, to paraphrase, you might know that they were pretty perplexed that they could understand all that in their own language. They came from all those far-off countries. And so they were very perplexed, and they looked at each other, and they said, "What is going on? Why are we able to understand them even though all of us speak different languages?" It just didn't make sense. But here's the deal. By the end of that day, 3,000 people were baptized as believers. Now, that's a pretty powerful portrayal of the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, and we know that from this scripture, there were some in that crowd who weren't interested in finding the meaning of what was going on that day. They were only interested in perpetuating the chaos of that moment. You see, it's my belief that since they couldn't understand what was going on, and since they were just too dull-headed to even be curious, they looked at each other and said, "They're just drunk, that's all." But then Peter, y'all know Peter? Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, y'all remember him? He stood up that day and gave a sermon and he hit it out of the park, I'm telling you. He said to them that the people were not drunk, that it was way too early in the day for that to be going on, and that in fact what was happening was fulfillment of prophecy right in front of their eyes. He said, in the last days, this is what Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit on men and women alike. There will be signs in the heavens, blood moons, fire, and clouds of smoke. But all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, it was Peter. Not those naysayers, not the ones who accused the believers of being drunk. It was Peter who brought God into that event and who brought that crowd together, explaining to them that this was God's work and not the work of human hands. He did it by calling on God, and he did it by taking the focus off of the human proclivity to find chaos in any event they don't understand. Instead, he brought the peace of God into that very perplexing and pretty wild day. You see, the ones who said that believers were drunk didn't want to go any place besides what they knew. Being a follower of Jesus Christ demands that we be curious and that we look for God in every situation. And that's what Peter did, but he even went a step further because he took the time to point out to everyone that as chaotic as it was, God was in the midst of that chaos and that human behavior had nothing to do with what was going on that day. Now today, we have confirmed 8 of our young ladies and young men. And as confirmands, they are now walking toward being full members of the church. They have professed their faith in Jesus Christ in front of every one of you here. And that's a huge, huge step. But here's the deal. Confirmation is a very big step. It requires baptism. It requires commitment. It requires dedication to Jesus Christ. And it requires, get this, living in peace in the midst of chaos. And here's the beauty of confirmation. Every one of us here today can be reminded of our own confirmations, however that took place. For all of us, it was different. Some of us were confirmed the minute we were baptized. Some of us took classes. Some of us did all other kinds of things. Every tradition is a little different. But I don't know about you. When I go to a wedding, every once in a while, I'll sit there. You know, I've been married a long time. And you'd think that I'd kind of be over this. But I go to weddings sometimes, and I'll tear up a little bit. It's because I'm remembering the sweetness and the beauty of that very important day in my life. And that's what all of you are able to do today, is remember the sweetness and the beauty of your own confirmation, your own baptism. Sometimes we, the church, are almost embarrassed to let other people know that we have even a casual acquaintance with Jesus Christ, and yet this scripture demands that not only do we have a strong relationship with Christ, we let it be known to others. There are times when it's so much easier for us just to kind of go along with the crowd and do whatever they want. But the fact is, we self-identify as daughters and sons of Christ. The chaos of the world, y'all hear this, the chaos of the world will always try to be more important to you than the peace of God. And yet the peace of God is where we orient our focus. Now, according to my grandmother, I was born in chaos. And I have to admit that there are times and have been times when I thought chaos was going to win. There have been times when I thought that the chaos was going to overwhelm me, and then somehow or another, I remember who I am. That I'm a daughter of God, and that the peace that passes all understanding is mine for the taking. I remember that I'm a child of God, not a child of the world. When I remember who I am brought back immediately to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is no greater power than the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no greater power than the power of the Holy Spirit. I want y'all to say that with me. There is no greater power than the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time. There is no greater power than the power of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation reminds us of our lifelong acceptance of living in a world that offers chaos, but choosing instead to see the power of Christ in our lives and the lives of others. And make no mistake about it, the lure of the world is very, very powerful. I don't know about all you old folks like me, but that was the most important thing I learned when I left home, was how strong the lure of the world could be. When we're away from the safety and the security of our church family and of our families of origin, that's when the world will try to claim us for its own. But we are children of God. The world will try to seduce us and tell us that getting our own way is the better course. The world will try to tell us that orchestrating every detail of our lives so that we can stay comfortable is the better course. The world will tell us that walking with Christ is old-fashioned and out of date. The world will always lead us back to ourselves. Walking with Christ will always lead us to God, every single time. So, confirmants, today, you have accepted a really big responsibility. You have accepted the responsibility of being outcasts, of being strangers in the world. But instead of taking on the mantle of Christ and walking where he walks and walking with him even when the journey is hard and doesn't even seem logical. But remember this, when you stray from the path of Christ, he will always welcome you home. He will always call you back into communion with him. He will always offer grace and forgiveness, and he expects you to offer grace and forgiveness to others as well. One more time, we're going to say this together. There is no power that is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. I want all eight of y'all say it louder than all of them. They're going to say it too, but y'all say it so loud they can hear y'all. You ready? Can you do this? I know. Here we go. There is no power that is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it this time. I'm not going to talk because I want to hear y'all over them. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to say there, and that's it. There. There is no power greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. They did it. I heard them more than I heard y'all. Know that you have been given access to the greatest power in the universe, and that is given to you freely. Count on that. Count on Christ. Count on your church family who all just promised that they're going to walk with you on this journey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.